Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We came here for love, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Newcastle lost to the Blades and Manchester United atop. It's Wednesday, 13th of January. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Brutus Pete Kick.
And I'm Lucian Antaraja.
Welcome, one and all, to a wonderful Wednesday. It's Marcus Speller in your ears, and Pete and Vic, just the two chaps I wanted to see today. Differing fortunes for your football teams, of course.
Yes.
Vish, Gary Neville, your leader, has told you, he's commanded you all to get carried away. How are you feeling, my man? Manchester United are top of the league for the first time since 1995.
I was tweeting like an absolute wrong'un last night, and I have no remorse for that. I'd like to come and officially state that I have no apology to make. I am totally, totally doubtful that it is going to last, and for that reason, I've pulled the cord on my nonsense. So it's been a great 12 hours, I'm not going
to
lie.
Your Twitter feed suggested to me that you might not turn up this morning.
Honestly, if I could go and, you know, end up in a hole somewhere, I probably would have done. But
that's the spirit. You know. Oh, Petey, we'll get to your boys in a minute. But, Pete, are you pleased that Manchester United are back at the top of the league?
Oh, I'm pleased that Paul Pogba's back in the side, knocking them in. And like, imagine if he goes on to have an amazing end of the season and lifts the title. Imagine the gnashing from the All Blacks in football. Imagine how angry they'll be. Oh, I love it. I love it a bit. I really do. It wasn't a strong performance, would you, Vish? I thought that they could have had about 3 or 4 goals. I mean, Maguire's header should have stood. I thought Cavani's pass to Martial deserved more. Martial seems to have gone off the boil, but it doesn't really matter because everyone else is kind of firing. Is that fair?
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. It was far from convincing, but I suppose given what's happened over the last month, it came with a bit less fear when you're watching it. You know, when we're watching it at home, and there was a little bit more, I don't know. I feel like just reading the comments on Twitter of people who were watching it, there was a sense that United were going to get something out of it. Whereas maybe 2 months ago, there would have probably been a sense that Burnley would have got something out of it. Mm. And I thought it was interesting that Sean Dyche at the end of the game, when he was asked, oh, do you think that was a fair result? And he was like, you know what, probably. Like, probably was, actually. Probably, you know, mm-hmm. just of what United created. I'm quite excited for Pogba. I feel like... You know that that photo that's become a meme of like the Question Time audience. I feel like that might be blasted into space, like, you know, that bit of glass in Superman where they put the three people in that little space and kind of blast it off into the ether. Because yeah, he's performing so well, and it's kind of weird actually because he's never been closer to leaving than this season, and yet suddenly he's come back in and feel so much more welcome. And it's really weird connected. As well. Yeah. But like, Pete, I don't know, or, you know, Marcus as well, I don't know what you think of this, but I think it's so funny how one of the things that's lauded about midfielders in modern football now seems to be an ability to turn around and go forward with the ball.
Yep.
And perhaps it's because of how the systems have been since then, but like, it seems really simple, and Pogba's one of the people who does those simple things really well.
Yeah. But football goes in sort of waves and phases and so on. So when it was, you know, what you want in a midfielder is one touch pass. That's the pinnacle of the game. Well, sometimes, Vish, people like a bit of thrust and they forget about that. And Pogba can provide that. But I mean, I think, you know, with Pogba, pictures of him with blood on his knee, he gets man of the match on a Tuesday night in Burnley. I mean, my goodness, you know, they're on for it, aren't they? But I would like to say that when people say that, or Pete said the old men in football are furious, I mean, you're talking about Graeme Souness, obviously. I don't necessarily think he will be. I think Souness, often we sort of joke and laugh about what he says about Pogba, and that's fair. But I think the frustration is with Paul Pogba is everyone knows he's a world beater. Like, that's not in question. He's won the World Cup and so on. It's... why are you not playing like that? Why are you not kind of fulfilling your, well, not potential, because as I say, he's a World Cup winner. And now we're seeing him put in these performances. It's kind of like, I think actually a lot of people will find it quite satisfying, or almost as some sort of relief's not the right word, but it's. I think Graeme Souness will say, see, told you so at the end of the
season. Yeah,
but do you not think it's very much, he's being played a little further up the field. He's getting the ball in more advanced positions. He was dropping way too deep last time. He was having to do way too much defensive midfield work to even get a sniff of the ball. I just he looked like a completely different player yesterday.
Do you not get the sense as well that he looks like now he feels like he doesn't have to do everything? I think there are times in the past where he's played in teams and he's felt like he's playing around children.
That's exactly it, I think.
And feels like he has to take responsibility, whereas now it's spread out a bit more.
You don't want to give Paul Pogba any responsibility, and then he'll step up and take responsibility, if you see what I mean. And I think that in that France team in the World Cup, he's got N'Golo Kante in there, he's got Matuidi, the little legs, you know, to the side of him and so on. He knows what he's got in that Juventus side as well. Pirlo, Marchisio, I think Arturo Vidal was in there. You know, these are big players, Vish. They're big players. And Pogba can then just kind of go about his business. And I think at Manchester United, because the midfield combinations have been hit and miss and a bit sort of tricky here and there, I think he's kind of thought, where are the players I can turn around and think, all right, he'll do his job. Right, I can just kind of go and play. And that's what you want. But even though Manchester United are top of the league, is Ole's job safe, Peter?
I think he'll be all right for the foreseeable. I don't think he'll be all right for the foreseeable.
Yeah,
I think he deserves immense credit. He's got these kind of marquee players like Fernandes and Paul Pogba, and he's just surrounded them with absolute whip quick players to complement their talents, and they look like such a different team than they did at the start of the season. I'm enjoying watching them.
Last time they were top of the league was September 2017. Vitushin, you must be absolutely, come on, you are dreaming.
I was about to say something that I'd immediately have to take away, because I was going to say if they win the league I would do something. But I can't put myself in that position. I'm 34 years old, Marcus. I can't do it.
No, well, we won't hold you to it. But like, just for example, what would be something that maybe
stab myself in the eye?
No, don't do that.
Smash up the Jazz. Yeah. Or something.
Yeah, like in Street Fighter, I'll kick the Jazz to death.
Kick the Jazz to death.
Uh-huh. Like that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie, it's very exciting. And, you know, I'm also sitting here having eaten a bit of humble pie, mm-hmm. and it's not the first time I've had pie for breakfast. But I genuinely didn't see it coming because, yeah, we looked so disorientated. It looked like we were so reliant on the brilliance of Bruno Fernandes. And, yeah, any kind of coherent plan wasn't particularly evident. Mm-hmm. And the aberration of the Champions League kind of played into that as well. But since then, I would say maybe a few weeks ago, I'd kind of turned around to myself and thought, you know what? We might not win the league. We probably won't win the league. But he's taken us to a better place and we're playing the best attacking football, the most entertaining football that we have done since Sir Alex Ferguson's era.
To a better place, blinded by your grace. Ollie came. Go on.
But yeah, but now I'm kind of like, yeah, it'd be a bit exciting. And I still can't see how they can sustain this because of what we know of Liverpool and what we are seeing right now in Manchester City. But it's fun and, you know, it's... not a bad thing.
Are you pleased, Vish, that Manchester United have a hatchet man in their side in the form of Luke Shaw these days?
So, do you know, there's a journalist at The Athletic who's very good on football generally, but particularly Manchester United, and he's called Carl Anker. And he keeps making this point, and it's a point worth reiterating because I don't think a lot of people realise it. But Luke Shaw's 6'1".
He's a big boy.
Yeah.
He sort of has toughened up recently. I don't know what the effect Jose Mourinho had on him, but he seems to sort of want revenge.
He's a little bit more of an arsehole, isn't he? Do you remember when he kicked that player for no reason?
Yeah, but that was a nasty one.
But Man United have always been better when they've had an arsehole in the sides, or several arseholes. At their most arsehole-y, they've won titles and Champions Leagues.
Yeah, well, the two VAR red car reviews were running concurrently in that game at one point, which, I mean, is that the kind of excitement that will ensure that VAR is here to stay, Peter?
Oh, it was brilliant. I mean, it was Shaw and Brady, sort of yellows, non-yellow. It was like Tenet. It was so confusing. Yeah. It's like one's going backwards, one's going forwards. Is Kenneth Branagh getting younger? I don't know.
No, you shouldn't know. Well, yeah, it was a fortunate. I mean, Sean Dyche sort of said, yeah, I don't want to see players sent off for this, that and the other. But, you know, on another night he might have gone and you thought, oh, okay, yeah. Dyche, we know what you're thinking there. But I mean, I suppose it was... You know, one wasn't given because the other ended up as it was. But from Burnley's point of view, I mean, it's interesting. Burnley have won once in their last 26 meetings against the Big Six at home. So this, we've mentioned this before, and I'm sure others have as well, that Burnley are, it's a tricky place to go. They're often the sort of the scourge of the big boys. But that record, which doesn't really suggest that, does it?
Well, I think maybe the framing of it is a bit off because what people tend to mean by the big boys is that they play well against teams that want to play football. But we see now in the league that quite a few teams want to play football. You know, if you look at last season, Aston Villa were a team that wanted to play football and just about got away with it. Fulham are a team that want to play football this season. Brighton are a team that want to play football this season. So they don't just exist in that area, you know, in the top six or fighting for Europe. They are now quite a few teams lower. That, like Wolves are 14th, for example. Palace, 13th. Leeds as well. They're the kind of teams that play more expansively and probably actually are bringing Burnley's style of play back into, you know, or making Burnley be more of that traditional Burnley, because there was a stage where, you know, they started to branch out a little bit and play more fluid football. You know, there's a reason that Dwight McNeil excelled when he did is because, you know, the football they were playing was conducive to someone of his talent. So, yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah, they don't particularly do well against teams in the top half anymore.
But on that, Burnley are a very defensive side and they defend well. I mean, James Tarkowski has been obviously brilliant and his stats show that. I mean, he's very, very impressive indeed. Do you think that's it? They just like to try and... This perception is they try and spoil the game for the big sides, and that's why people think, oh, they're a bit sort of difficult and awkward to play against.
Yeah, I mean, like, this might be actually a good question for you to answer, because, you know, when you saw Fulham at the start of the season and you saw they were playing some good stuff, did you think, right, okay, we've got something here?
I thought this was a terrible idea.
Yeah, exactly.
What the hell are you doing?
But I think Burnley have just got a bit more entrenched in that thinking, like, oh, I don't know if we can go toe-to-toe with these people. Whereas Leeds, you know, the thing about Leeds is that they've just been given an incredible amount of belief that they They can do that.
Yeah. Well, if you want to defend well and you want to defend deep, then you look at Steve Bruce and Newcastle United. And my goodness, Peter, they were so close to getting a point last night, weren't they?
It was a wonderful chest back almost into Jaden Bogle's own net. It was fantastic. It was so accurate. It was relaxed. It had everything apart from hitting the back of the net. Wonderful.
Yeah. Well, Sheffield United, they've won a game. The second longest wait for a top flight victory ever comes to an end. They pick up their first league win in 21 games. They're on 5 points now. They're only 3 behind West Brom and obviously, what is it, 6 behind Fulham. And it's marvellous for Chris Wilder, who said after the match, "I just want to get home to my wife. I want to go see her and enjoy a glass of wine." He's deserved it, hasn't he, Pete? 1-0 against Newcastle United, down to 10 men.
I mean, it's a 6 o'clock kickoff. I mean, you do your post-match till about 9 o'clock and you're gonna be drinking a glass of wine at 10 p.m. there, aren't you?
Also, is he going to wake her up? Because she might be in bed. Is it like, come on,
no, right?
Let's see this off.
Hang on.
Let's have some cab sav.
Let's see this off.
You don't even have to get up. I'll pour it down your throat. Come on.
Wineboarding your wife. Wineboarding your wife.
we should point out, Peter, that Derby County, obviously they have the unwanted record in 2007-2008 when they only won, I think, one game all season, something like that. Interestingly, they picked up 4 points against Newcastle United that season.
Yeah,
they beat record, Newcastle and Sheffield United. They end their losing streak against Newcastle. You know, it doesn't look good on the older CV, does it?
No, Bruce seems almost just duty bound to be unable to motivate even the most average of players. Like when Jeff Hendrick signed, I thought, right, okay, fine, that's a good signing, good 7 out of 10 player. I think he's at 6 at the moment cumulatively. I think we've had a 1 out of 10 out of him for the last 6 matches. But look, when they lined up with about like 8 defensive players against the worst team in the league, I thought, right, okay, we'll probably lose this one. And the consolation here is that the bell ends on telly, your red naps, etc. will probably re-examine their boy Brucey, whether he's doing an all right job or not. And it's just awful. We can't motivate them. He spent 110 million net, I think. Do you give Steve Bruce 110 million? It's the most we've ever spent, ever. One goal in open play in 8 games, 8 and 12 lost, out of the cups. We're going down. And once again, they're in the McLaren situation.
Have you seen the teams below them?
Yeah, I know, but they're heading in the wrong direction, aren't they? And we saw this with McLaren, the club. Took too long to act, McLaren. And we're weeks away from Mike Ashley doing his usual sort of annual, sorry about that, I'm very poor, kind of press conference, which you get every single bloody 12 months.
Peter, there was a Bruce out banner at St James's Park last night, so there is a bit of solidarity there. But Stevie Bruce says, I'll never walk away from a challenge.
Maybe you should.
Yeah, challenge is his favourite band of suet.
That's like saying, oh, I'll never walk away from a car crash.
No, is it? A challenge and a car crash are not quite the same thing, are they?
No, but when you're in a car crash, like, move away from the scene, mate. Don't stand there. Don't try and put out the fire yourself. You're the one who created this mess.
I'm putting out the fire. Why? Because it's a challenge and I'll never walk away from one.
I've never been in fireman in my life. I got a glimpse of what it was to be a Newcastle fan this season. Because, like, Pete's right, there's a lot of... Newcastle are one of those clubs that people assume a lot of their fan base, of their expectations, of their ambitions and of the realities. And I was at the Arsenal game on the weekend in the FA Cup. And at the end, Bruce said, by the way, I know we didn't win, but I think the fans will be really happy because we tried this new tactical thing. We're trying to sit further up the pitch. We're trying to create more chances. And I looked at that and I thought, I looked at the numbers and like on a lot of metrics in the league, there was no way that Newcastle could sustain that. And certainly they'd have to change how they've gone about things a whole season. But playing bottom of the league, a team that haven't won a single game this season until the FA Cup on the weekend in Sheffield United, I thought, actually, if you're going to try it, if you're going to back yourself into a corner and say, oh, we're going to try all these different things, then you're going to try it against the team who you're most likely to win against all season. And bear in mind, there were 11 men for 45 minutes. They didn't do that. And I felt a little bit like, oh God, you've lied to me. You've lied to me. You know, I was in that press conference. And I mentioned it to my brother and he sent me a few words back that I can't repeat on here, those kind of words. And he was like, now do you get it? And I was like, actually, I kind of do, yeah.
Yeah, well the better news is, or potential good news for Newcastle United fans, is that David Ginola has said he wants back in at Newcastle because they deserve better. He thinks, Big Dave, that he could suit a director role at a big club and would strive to turn it into a family with everyone striving for the same goal. Ginola said, I'd want to bring the academy players to the first team, a bit like Barcelona under Joan Laporta, with Messi, Busquets, Piqué, Xavi, Iniesta. You need a soul. That's what's going to make us win trophies. Peter?
I mean, it's better, probably better than his, and it's probably more ambitious than his tilt at becoming the head of FIFA, to be quite frank.
What?
Does this get you excited?
What?
Does David Ginola reeling off the names Messi, Busquets, Piqué, Xavi, Iniesta, does that get you going?
Yeah, I mean, the
Shearer,
idea of
Beardsley,
him saying
Ferdinand.
Those words.
Sessions.
oh, lordy. No, well, no, it doesn't, Marcus. Uh-huh.
Lascelles.
What's he been up to? Lascelles.
Joe Linton.
Thank you. Well, you know, he's had a terrible run of kids. But look, if he wants to direct, if he wants to be a director for a championship club, by all means, get involved with it.
Well, you can get away with saying any old shit when you look that good, can't you?
You can.
Exactly.
You can.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, two more little points of admin from last night's match. Ryan Fraser became the shortest player to be sent off in the Premier League, replacing Tarek Lamptey.
Frosted tips, Fraser. Lovely.
Yeah, how about that? And Billy Sharp scored his 100th league goal for Sheffield United. And it was good that Sharp got the goal because obviously he's a huge favourite at Sheffield United. So well done that man. So a big win for Sheffield United.
Important one as well. Important 100th goal.
Very much indeed, Peter. Very
Nick,
much
have
indeed.
Have you seen Newcastle's next seven matches? They include Arsenal, mm-hmm. Leeds, Everton, Southampton, Chelsea, Man United. Thank you.
Pete, how many goals do you think
and you say
score?
We're not going down.
How many goals do you think they're going to score in those seven games?
Joe Linton's going to score three in the next eight matches. Mark my words.
From open play?
From open play. Yeah, I'm going to do it. Oh, I think they'll score two from open play.
In the next seven games?
Genuinely, I think. Unless, ignoring the Crystal Palace match, we might get a result there, but yeah, I just can't see anything happening, especially when teams are chasing something. Leeds are definitely up for it.
Yeah, okay.
Oy, oy, oy.
All right, gentlemen, before we go to a break, quick mention for Everton beating Wolves. Everton, they're up to fourth. Just one point off Liverpool, Vich. How about that, eh? Good win for them away to Wolves. I know Wolves haven't had a great time of it of late. They've since Raul Jimenez's injury, they went from 7th to 14th, so they're struggling a little bit. And Big Nuno said he was very worried about their form. Nice bit of honesty from a manager, but great for Everton, though.
I don't know what to make of Everton. And the only thing I can think of is an example that I suppose fits the ramble. And it's purely because of what I've heard of this particular person. But I come to the conclusion that Everton are the Pete Donaldson of the Premier League. You look away and sometimes they're doing something like quite remarkable. And then you look back and you're like, how have they got themselves into that situation? Like, how have they lost so many games on the bounce? You know, why is he wearing
that? I think it's more that I've eked out a career because of everybody else being shit. I think that's the... There's no skill level over this side of the net, but yeah, it was interesting because they just like I loved Iwobi's goal. Did you see it?
I did.
Ozzy, where he just opens up his body.
Yeah,
he just opens up his body and just places it. Very understated, excellent goal of the month for me.
But what was great is his movement before that was when he passes the ball. Was it to James Rodriguez? He passes it. He plays it. Now, I'm assuming this is Ancelotti giving him instructions here because normally a wide player may not make the run that he did. He passed it, and when I'm pretty sure it was Rodriguez sort of spun. He certainly played the ball over. When he did that, Iwobi just goes. He's off, charging into the box, and then the ball comes in, and of course he places it very, very well. So yeah, because he's got a bit of quality, Iwobi. But how sure were you when the news came through that Michael Keane had scored? How sure were you that it was a header into the corner?
Definitely. I feel sorry for Wolves. I think Nuno might reconsider his policy on pausing football because it's not been going great quite recently. But they just aren't scoring.
Got one last night.
I know this. All right, Mark. All right. You've made your point.
He's chippy today, isn't he?
He's chippy. Today. What was he chipping off before about? He was just very, very combative before he started the recording. Me and you were trying to talk about mechanical keyboards, and we were just
we both came on.
Nice time.
Neither of us have brushed our teeth, and he was having a go.
No, exactly. Yeah.
I just think that you need to act like men for a change.
Oh,
why don't you try? Not brushing your teeth, you coward?
All right, yeah. I do. From the hours
scared
of
plaque.
When by the time I go to sleep, by the time I wake up, I've not brushed my teeth. All right, that's enough of that nonsense. Time for a break, everybody.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
This week on Stakhanov.
Throughout January, Clash of the Titles are letting you pick the films being battled out on air. Already binged your way through Netflix during lockdown? Listen as Alex, Vicky and Chris rediscover and tear apart old and new favourites alike, week in, week out.
I like here, though, that Michael Bay starts as he means to go on. I made a list of sort of Bayisms from this sequence. Low angles, lens flare, dry ice, washed out colours, military hardware, men marching, orchestral score, guitar riffs.
Or if you're looking for some much-needed escapism, why not catch up with the Abroad in Japan podcast? Chris was recently joined by Joey the Anime Man to discuss mastering conversational Japanese.
That's a really interesting topic, bat channeling, which is where you kind of go,
In Japanese, if you don't do the every now and then people just think you're not listening or you're ignoring them.
All that and a whole lot more at Stakhanov.
Five in the wall, and it looks like a skirt to boot. Messi goes through.
Oh, dear.
Forgot about him. Welcome back, everybody, to the Football Ramble. It's a pleasure to have you.
Who was it?
Hudson.
Oh, is it Hudson? He sounds like he's been electrocuted.
Maybe Ray Hudson-Odoi, that was. All right, everybody, it's time for emails.
Just email show.
That's it, everybody. Show at footballramble.com or tweet us at footballramble. We've had a load of listeners get in touch about Pete's managing by mail game he used to play. Pete, you mentioned this yesterday, which which has sparked the imaginations and memories of many of our listeners. Matt Honeyman on Twitter said, "We didn't have a home phone for a period when I played it. I used to spend Saturday mornings in the local phone box calling managers and trying to broker deals."
Yeah, you would have to actually phone someone up and go, "I'll take, I don't know, bloody Nicky Papavissalou off you for like half a million or something." And they'd say yes or no. And you'd have to ratify the deal via the little printout. It's very, very antiquated, but I quite like it.
Yeah, the thought of using a telephone box now is so odd, isn't it? But I can remember, Vish, I can remember seeing your picture in them in London.
What are you trying to say? That I'm a
new in town
prostitute? Is that what?
Yeah, that's how we met. I phoned your number and I thought, you know what? There's more to this relationship.
He's skilled, sure.
Yeah, he's got a lovely voice. You should broadcast.
You can get him to do extra for that.
We've got a tweet here from Felix White of the Maccabees.
Wow.
Blimey, a talented person. I'm sure they're all talented. I'm sure Matt Honeyman is very talented in what he does. But we know Felix White is. He said, "I did this when I was 10. This is about your managing by mail game, not phoning Vish in a telephone box. "I did this when I was 10. Had a really successful stint in charge of Partick Thistle. Which involved fielding multiple calls on the landline at home every day from grown men about transfers. Some negotiations went on for weeks and weeks." This is absolutely incredible. Oh, the world wasn't better back in the day, was it?
Imagine your parents picking up the phone to some old man. "Is he in?" To your 10-year-old son.
I want to talk to him about signing Chris Sutton.
Yeah. Is that Chris
Sutton? I'm not letting him screw me again.
we got a message from Dom Ludley as well. He said that he lasted slightly less than 7 weeks. He gave up the moment that there was a phone call on the landline that my dad answered. He shouted up the stairs something along the lines of, "Dom, there's someone on the phone who wants to negotiate a deal for your midfielder." I don't think I realised that this was even something that could happen. I was about 12 or 13 and I think I found it pretty embarrassing and stopped my involvement immediately. I think it was also unnecessarily rude to the lad who had called me. It's weird though, isn't it? It is weird.
This is so weird. So this is like a fantasy football game, essentially, but before the internet. Yeah.
Mm.
My
Wonderful.
Goodness.
I've got an email from Rich Jones, by the way. It starts, "Oi oi, Ramblers." Nice. "Oi oi, Rich Jones. Marines St. Lucia International remind me that a couple of years back, my local team, Leek Town, at the same level as Marine, had 4 international players. Turns out anyone with a British passport was eligible to play for the British Virgin Islands, and for some reason the technical director had decided the Staffordshire Moorlands might be a hotbed of new talent. It's not really a country I was too familiar with at the start," said keeper Ben Chapman, "who I bet money on not having heard of them too long before playing for them in World Cup qualifiers. This makes me wonder, what other obscure international players our listeners have had playing for their team, or even are listening, or are listeners? So that could be an interesting one."
Oh, it is a lovely one when you have a player who plays in sort of lower leagues of English football or quite far down, and they get to play in a World Cup qualifier here and there. So I don't know who they would have played, but you never know. I mean, I suppose they would go through some sort of preliminary rounds or that kind of thing. But, you know, it only takes a little bit of good fortune and somebody in your family, like a grandfather or mother or something, and you're like playing at the Azteca Stadium against Mexico or something like that. You know, I love these little stories. Marvellous.
Yeah, my one of my mates plays international cricket for Colombia.
That's so cool.
Does he have any connection to the country other than as a resident?
So he's been there for longer now, but his partner is Colombian.
Okay.
But it's not, I don't think it's quite as strict as needing to fulfill, you know, kind of a residency period or anything like that. I think it's just knowing about cricket in Colombia.
I was about to say, if you can just hold the bat properly, I'm sure you've kind of been.
Well, if you know what a bat is, so you'd be, you know, you'd be shooing.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, I like it. Well, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for your emails and messages. show@footballramble.com or tweet us @footballramble. Petey, what's up next?
Oh, it's time for this.
I prefer to kill him.
It's back, the game everyone wanted to hear again. Portmantonio Conte.
Hey.
The rules are very simple. I've got two clues pertaining to two footballers whose names have been joined together. You just need to guess who they are. The example, the classic example is 2008, banned from driving after being caught driving 6 miles over the speed limit after a stressful meeting with Mike Ashley. I was also shot and killed by a bodyguard from a Colombian drug cartel. Of course, it's Kevin Keegan-Dries Escobar. Do you see how this one works? Fish, have you played this game before?
No.
I haven't. No, right, okay. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the clues pertaining to two footballers. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you 10 seconds in my head. And at the end of those 10 seconds, before I get to the end of those 10 seconds, one of you needs to shout out their name. We'll come to you and you'll give us the Portmantonio Conte. Does that
work? As in my name or the person's
their names.
Name?
No, you need to guess the footballers. The
footballers' names. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah. Gotcha.
All right then, cool. Start the clock. I have the second highest appearances in Serie A. I am a Welsh striker who's still banned from driving for doing a little drinky, drinky, drivey, drivey. Start the clock.
I don't know the rules anymore, honestly.
Oh, that's a hard one. Tough one this week, guys.
Stuck, yeah.
You can't even get any of the footballers? Don't speculate on the second one, please.
No, I won't. and I think that was probably the problem with this question. I thought, well, I have to really be on the money here. The first one, I wasn't too sure, actually, I'll be honest with you. It wasn't Gigi Buffon.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
He's top, though, isn't he? So he's got the most amount of appearances.
Oh, has he? Maybe Paolo Maldini.
Paolo Maldini is one of the footballers. Okay. What's the second footballer?
You're going to have to tell us.
Paolo Maldini Saunders.
Yes, Paolo Maldini Saunders. 300 hours of community service down. You still can't keep that man down. Congratulations to me for baffling and bamboozling both of you.
And Dean.
Portmantonio Conte will be back soon, and Dean. Not, Dean deserves no credit.
Well, we shouldn't congratulate him too much. I mean,
exactly. He said he shouldn't have his car taken away from him because he's got to work in the community by reporting from football matches.
Oh, I see.
Big shout.
I'm just saying
big
congratulations
shout.
To him for getting his name mentioned alongside Paolo Maldini's. That was all.
He's a good striker. Very good footballer.
Not Paolo a great Maldini driver, though, was he?
Yeah. Not a great driver.
All right, let's move on. let's move on to something less contentious or naughty.
I can't even do it sober.
Yes, West Ham's newest board member. David Sullivan's partner, Emma Benton Hughes, has been appointed as director at West Ham United. And if any of the gentlemen listening to this know her name, shame on you. In the late 90s and early 2000s, she starred in a number of adult films, such as Lesbian Nurses and Naked Neighbours.
Ooh.
That's when Naked Neighbours become good. And has since directed various films, including Horny Housewives on the Job. They're on the job, never off the job.
We put this in the running order just so Marcus would have to read out the porno titles.
And Sex Mad Secretaries. So... there we are. Her brother is called Johnny Trunk, apparently, which is also enjoyable.
I love family members with interesting jobs. And let's make it very clear, sex work is real work, but so is sitting in a boardroom with David Sullivan. Let's make that very clear.
I think this is about as clear as mud. But yes, David Sullivan Jr. has also been appointed a director. So good old West Ham. They never fail to entertain us, do they, Vish?
Well, I was trying to work out what were the, you know, is... getting your family members into the boardroom a way of ensuring that you can monopolize the vote. I was trying to think of an upside here beyond, you know, talking about what they used to do and why, and maybe delving into why so many porn films are hell bent on alliteration. You know, I don't what are they actually going to get done by all being in the same room?
They've got to be on the job, just like those horny housewives. Whatever happens. Mm. They've got to be doing that.
West Ham sounds like a porno, really, doesn't it? West Ham, but it's just to get around the COVID restrictions, isn't it? Presumably, because
Oh, is that it?
Can attend matches. Yeah, so they can attend matches. And I presume they've been put on the board so they can attend football matches, which is an interesting way of getting around it. And I'm sure Emma Benton Hughes probably doesn't appreciate being thrown into the limelight like this. But look, it's going to happen. It's going to happen when you're a board member of West Ham.
Yeah, indeed. Well, speaking of the dreaded COVID, did you see Darren Bent on the radio the other day was proposing that Premier League players, the Premier League should group players into a month-long secure bubble so that they can, you know, be a lot safer, as we've seen a lot of outbreaks at clubs and so on and so forth, to try and kind of curb that. He said the NBA did this just to complete their 2020 season, where they were in a bubble for 3 months, which is a long time. You know, think about that, people with families and whatnot. They were in a bubble for 3 months, and they stayed at the Walt Disney Resort Disney World Resort in Florida. And I thought to myself, well, yeah, it's not too bad, I suppose. Florida, December in Florida around that time is quite warm, and at Disney World, you'd have a lovely old time. And I thought to myself, well, where would the Premier League players stay? Like Butlins or somewhere?
Harry Potter World.
Would that have enough accommodation? Does Chessington World of Adventure? I don't know if there's enough.
Is he Professor Bubbles? Because Professor Bubbles,
Dr.
obviously.
Burt's Bubble Works.
Yeah, so obviously that's a literal bubble at Chessington World of Adventure, so they'd be fine there, I guess, wouldn't they?
Centre Parks has a lot of space, isn't it?
Yes.
Centre Parks. What about Alton Towers? Quite central.
What about the big domed? What's the Eden Project? Eden Project.
Yeah. No football team play down there.
They'll get really kind of exotic, sort of tropical injuries from the flies that are buzzing around.
Staying down in the Eden Project, the nearest side to there is, I don't know who it would be. Maybe
put them all in
the
bubble and
they
all get malaria.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, dearie me. Well,
is this, can I take this a little bit too seriously? If that's
you'll go on
all
then.
Right. Like, I don't know, like, you know, Pete, you're quite good on this kind of stuff
in terms of
having a conscience, as are you, Mark.
Very good, yeah.
But is this not a bit weird that we're just kind of head down running through with the league season and, you know, especially given the month we've had with all the cancellations and all the...
Vish, Manchester United are top. You want to stop the league now?
Well, this is the thing. Yeah. Like, I have skin in the game on a number of fronts, not least because football continuing like keeps me in a job, and you know, even on a personal level, gives me something to do with my day and the luxury of going out and watching games. But I'm very uncomfortable with how we seem to be just barreling through and trying to like. Mm. And I appreciate I've got no solutions to this because you know at the start of the season maybe we should have dropped a cup trophy, but it's too late now to. Well, feels like it's too late now to do anything more, but yeah, I don't know. This is all a bit, I could just make noise.
I get the feeling that they will at some point pause the Premier League. It's getting to the point where it's just too dangerous to operate the Premier League and certainly top flight elite level football because you know clubs are getting decimated by COVID and we're risking everyone's family and it's just a weird situation to be in. Obviously, footballers obviously are lifeblood as well. I get the feeling that they'll probably pause the Premier League for a month or so, and then I can really see the Euros either getting cancelled or getting moved to like sort of December time and trying to get that done over a few weeks. I think that'll probably be the sensible move because you know we've got vaccines on the horizon. Things will seem better by the autumn. I think that would be the smart thing to do personally.
Yeah, it's just suddenly dawned on me, Pete. How is Paolo Maldini Saunders a portmanteau?
What do you mean?
Like, it's not Deeny Saunders, is it?
No, but I was hoping, Marcus,
you've made a mockery
against
of the game
with how you've been behaving today, that you would possibly, you know, get involved in the spirit of the competition, if not the nuts and bolts.
Well, anyway, let's move on, gentlemen, to some transfer shenanigans. AC Milan, Paolo Maldini's former side. They're in a very elite group of former sides of Paolo Maldini. Apparently, they might be interested in Fikayo Tomori for a season-long loan from Chelsea. Lampard's left the door open for him, apparently. Leeds and Newcastle could also try and get him. But Milan would be interesting, wouldn't it, if Tomori goes there? I mean, he's got a bit of quality. He's played for England and so on. I was wondering why he hasn't played that much for Chelsea. So that would be an interesting move. But the big news at Stamford Bridge is there are reports that Roman Abramovich is considering bringing back Avram Grant to Stamford Bridge, ladies and gentlemen. Get Uncle Abby back there. No sooner are we talking about horny housewives on the job, Uncle Abby suddenly appears.
What's with... Why is Avram being chucked in with horny housewives?
Let's move on from that.
No, genuinely, have I missed something here?
You may have done.
Massage. Google massage Avram Grant.
Honestly, after you went through that boardroom story and now this, my search history today is going to be a mess. I'm going to have this laptop taken off me by tomorrow.
Yeah. Google pictures of Avram Grant, and we know it's him because he was wearing his Portsmouth tracksuit with his initials on.
Oh, no, Avram, no.
It was one of my favourites. I think it's a proper ramble trope, ramble standard, isn't it?
Oh, dearie me. Yeah, but get Uncle Avi back in there. Chelsea don't have a director of football, so who better? Who bloody better?
Wenger. Bring Wenger in.
Not at Chelsea.
Do a petter check.
Yeah. Do you know what would be good if Spurs got Wenger in as a director of football, just hovering above Mourinho? Would that annoy him, perhaps? Mourinho was in good form yesterday, though. Did you see this? After Mesut Ozil was talking about his career as thus far and so on Twitter the other night, he said he would rather retire than sign for Tottenham Hotspur, in which Mourinho, when he was asked about this, said who told him that Spurs would be interested in signing him. And I was a bit disappointed because I thought Mourinho was going to come in and get Ozil, because that would be a very Mourinho thing to do. But he also Alfie Devine, of course, who played for Tottenham the other week, very young player, Mourinho said that he sent Alfie back to where he belongs, to the under 18s for 2 to 3 weeks to bring him back down to earth. So Divine learning the ways of Jose Mourinho in front of the world.
it's a weird dynamic, isn't it? Because when you need a little bit of help somewhere and you think a player of immense youth can help you out, and then you've just got to add him. Do you have to add him to your first team squad? They're just going to hang around otherwise, aren't they? Yeah. You're never going to get a game. It's a difficult dynamic.
Yeah, is he just sort of hanging around the first team players going, how many goals have you scored? Oh, yeah, no, brilliant, isn't it? Scoring goal. Right, get him back to the under-18s, back down to earth.
He just goes over and sits next to Harry Kane at lunch. God, this goal-scoring stuff's good, isn't it?
Ah, bloody goal scorer, isn't we? All right, fellow scorer. Well, of course, they're playing Fulham this evening after the fixture was switched, which Scott Parker described as scandalous. But Mourinho... doesn't seem as fussed. When asked about Fulham's 48-hour turnaround, he replied, are you serious? They had 48 hours to prepare. Look, I had the news that I wasn't going to play them 2 hours before the game started. Mourinho, eh? Now, of course, he bombed Parker out of Chelsea. Well, I say bombed him out. He didn't really fancy Parker much when he was Chelsea manager. So a little bit of history between the two of them, Vichy.
Yeah, I like the idea that he's... I mean, I know it is Mourinho, but it'd be amazing if he carried on that vendetta, you know, some 17 years later. Just like, I got rid of you once, I'm going to do it again. Yeah, exactly. What are you doing back here in West London? I told you where to go.
I don't need any time to prepare against you, you mug. That's what he's saying.
This is the other thing as well. Like, we end up getting managers into this unedifying situation where they're arguing about, like, this while obviously having to understand and appreciating, you know, the circumstances around football and the world at the moment. It's a little bit weird. I thought this was handled actually quite well because, I don't know, I think when it gets a little bit petty, it gets funny. Or is that just me?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Well, gentlemen, I'm very much looking forward to Fulham against Tottenham Hotspur this evening, and I will love it if we beat them. Love it. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble. It's been a pleasure having you on board. On tomorrow's show, Kate, Andy and Luke are in your ears. Peter, what have you got to say for yourself?
Oh, I'm sorry for all of the crimes I've committed. But also, if you enjoyed today's show and you want to show your support, you can either support us on patreon.com/footballramble, or you can head over to the review section of your podcast app and give us that 5-star rating we so richly deserves. We are here Monday through Bloody Friday and other times as well, doing our damn bests over there on the reviews. Just write what you want about us, but make sure you give us 5 stars, and it does help. It just helps. Yeah. Toss a coin to your witcher, guys.
Damn right, Peter. Damn right. All right. Thank you very much, Pete Donaldson.
I drink me coffee, sorry.
Thank you very much for Tushy de Hantaraja.
Hold on. Yeah, that was just me drinking my coffee.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. It's been an absolute pleasure. Tune in for more of this nonsense tomorrow.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. Why One Question Time is a Stack production.